Life Audio.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Billy and the Goat, the show dedicated to helping you overcome life's challenges, overcoming anxiety, overcoming adversity. Please hit the subscribe button so we can stay in touch. My guest today is someone many of you have seen and heard on social media, as well as bringing the gospel all over the world. Pastor Kelly K.
Yeah, man.
Is who it is. He is a husband. Thanks for being here, brother. Thanks for being here. Pastor K is a husband, father, pastor, author, and evangelist. With over 10 years in full-time ministry, thousands have come to know Jesus through the message of love, forgiveness, repentance, and salvation that Kelly speaks on daily with enormous passion and wisdom. Before coming to Jesus, Kelly K was a musician and tour manager for some of the biggest rock bands in the world. After a near-death car crash while out on tour, Kelly gave up everything and turned to Jesus, never looking back. Now he travels the world with a different purpose, to see the lives of everyone he encounters changed through the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Kelly's vision is to see as many people as possible learn, understand, and receive the true freedom, peace, and joy in Jesus Christ while on this earth that the Bible promises we can have. Kelly's ministry is fueled by the desire to see people's lives change radically by encountering Jesus personally, to see people set free from the chains of depression, addiction, and the mentality of, quote, I'll never be good enough. Ultimately, Kelly K Ministries wants everyone of every age and every race to get on fire for Jesus, burn bright, and share that fire as far and wide as possible. Kelly's mission is to spread the message of Jesus' love and to help people experience this love in their lives through social media, writing books, and speaking at churches and events all over the world. The overarching theme behind Kelly K's mission is watch what Jesus can do through you. Jesus sent us all on a mission to tell the world about him. Kelly K takes this assignment seriously and won't stop until there is no one left to tell.
Amen.
Kelly K, Pastor Kelly, welcome to the show. Man, let's do it.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Let's do it. Let's do it, man. So in your bio, first of all, thanks for being here. It's an honor and privilege. What happened in that accident?
Yeah,
you got in an accident years ago?
I had been tour managing. You know, it was my whole life. I just wanted to be in rock and roll. That's really all I wanted. That was my dream. And I was in a band, and we were wildly mediocre. And nobody wanted to sign us. But I had made a lot of friends in the industry. So long story short, I ended up working for a management company and started tour managing bands. And I was out with 3 Days Grace, Breaking Benjamin, Red, and Seether. And we had been driving in a a crazy tour. We'd been driving in a Prevo bus that we had rented, and we just bought our own bus. And we had 2 days we had to do in a 15-passenger van. And on the last day, we were driving from South Carolina back to Nashville to pick up that bus. And I was asleep in the back seat of the van. And it was like 6 in the morning. We were right outside of Nashville. I mean, we were like 20 miles from where we were supposed to be. And a construction company had left a guardrail overlapping kind of into the highway. And it was like 6 a.m. traffic in Nashville, you know. So the lanes were packed. And we were going 70 miles an hour. And he couldn't move to avoid that barrier, so instead of swerving to hit a car, he just hit it, and it tore the it was brutal. It tore the entire side of the van. I've got pictures of this. It's crazy. It tore the entire side of the van open like a can opener, and I came out of the side of that hole while going 70 miles an hour, and I woke up sliding on my back down the highway. I thought I was on fire. I just woke up burning. I didn't know what was happening.
And oh my gosh,
when I woke up, and there's so many events happened right in that moment that saved my life. That was clearly a God thing. Like, I'd woken up about 5 minutes before the crash and rolled over to my back, which I sleep on my stomach. I had taken off my hoodie, and then I fell back to sleep, which normally when I wake up, I get up, listen to some music. They said had I been on my stomach, this metal, it hit up my forehead all the way around the side of my face. They said it would have slit my throat. They said if I had had my hoodie on, it would have caught on the metal and thrown me underneath the vehicle. So all these things that happened right before the crash, minutes before, they said, had I been awake and tried to brace, it probably would have killed me. But because I was limp and asleep, I just, you know, just kind of fell right out.
Right.
Yeah.
I've heard that before. Yeah.
It's crazy. So that kind of made the touring days for me. I spent about 3 months in and out of a burn center. And,
I think so.
It was really hard for me to travel or get on a bus or anything. I still suffer from a little bit of anxiety when I fly and stuff because of that crash, but nothing like it was right then. But that was kind of the event that shifted everything. I wish I could say it was that day that I was like, all right, God, but it still took a little bit. But that was the first domino to fall that got me to where I am today. Yeah, it was crazy.
I'm blown away. Wow. Wow. Yeah, I mean, if that doesn't change you, you know, wow, well, God bless you, man. I'm glad you made it.
Had that not happened, I would never would have came off the road. You know, I was living what I thought was the dream, you know?
I was hanging out with rock stars every day. Right.
Eating the best food, traveling in the best cars, like everything was just provided for us, making a ton of money.
Yeah.
All the drugs you could want, all the alcohol, nothing cost anything. There was women everywhere. It was just, I wouldn't have walked away from that on my own because it was too quote unquote good. You know, it seemed like, hey, this is it. Mm-hmm. This is the dream come true. You're living it right now. But it wasn't. It was bondage, and I didn't understand that that's what it was. And the longer I was in it, the more chained up I was getting. So, you know, people ask all the time, why does God cause bad things to happen? And I'm like, you're looking at it all wrong. God is good. He doesn't cause bad things to happen, but he will allow bad things to happen so that it shifts your focus back to him. He allowed that accident to happen.
That's right.
He spared my life, and he used that accident to show me what really was important, you know? And it shifted my focus.
Oh, so, my goodness. Yeah. I say, wow, man. I mean, I've been in the fitness industry for, almost 30 years now. And I've trained some artists, over the years. And, you sharing that, I went back to, it's a different lifestyle. Y'all see differently.
You know, it was a fairy tale. Yeah. That's why as soon as these guys come home, they're so quick to go back out because you come back home and it's real life. You know, I got bills. People need me to do stuff. I got to do something.
Right?
I got to find the food. I got to do. But when you're out there, it's magical because everybody just bows to you. You wear that little laminate on your side and it's like this golden key that just unlocks everything.
That's it.
It's not real life. It's not real.
Exactly. What do you play?
I play instrument? A little bit of everything, but I'm a bass player, guitar player. I used to be a singer, but bass was kind of my main instrument. But on those tours, I was tour managing.
I wasn't
really playing. I played a little bit for Red when their bass player was gone, having their baby and stuff. I got to fill in, but really, I was just kind of managing the tours. Yeah.
Well, I speak for all of us, brother.
Hey,
I'm glad you made it through. So you said that didn't make the shift for you. When did that come? For as far as praising the Lord
and
wanting to be a pastor.
You got to go backwards first because, you know, I grew up, you know, I've told my testimony before, and I remember at one church I told my testimony, and I had this little lady come up to me afterwards and tell me, she goes, "I don't like your testimony." I'm like, I don't like it either.
Wow.
What else you want me to give you, a testifony? Like, I don't know, what else you want me to tell
right?
you? She thought that looking the way I look, I should have been in prison or some horrible drug addict, but that's not the case. You know, matter of fact, I grew up in an amazing godly home. My parents were sold out Christians for Jesus, man, and I grew up with the best teacher. I've known the Bible since I was 2 years old. I was speaking in tongues when I was 9 years old. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit since I was a kid.
Okay.
Like, that's
okay.
What I grew up in. So when I was 13 is when I heard God tell me very clearly, I'm supposed to be an evangelist. I'm going to travel the world. I'm going to preach all over the country in arenas and all. I mean, he just showed me this vision perfectly clear when I was 13. But at 13, what do you do with that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't know what to do with that. Like, okay, cool, you know?
Right.
But as I got older, even growing up in the church, that rock and roll lifestyle is what appealed to me. That's what looked more fun. And I struggled with that. I kept trying to do the right thing, but I wanted to do what I wanted to do too. So, you know, in the middle of those music years, that's me running from God, essentially. I was about as far away from him as you could be. I never doubted God. I never said, "I don't believe in you, God." I just said, "I'm going to do what I want. And if it costs me my soul, I'm going to give that up." That was a stupid thing for me to say and to believe. I didn't realize what I was saying or doing, but that's where I was. So after the crash, what happened is I say that's when it started. I've heard God the whole time I was far from him. I heard his voice saying, "I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. I've got a plan for you." I cannot ever tell you a time where I wasn't hearing him saying that. No matter how far from him I was, I would still hear that voice. So after the crash, I had to realign my job. You know, what am I going to do? I can't make money if I'm not out on the road, but I can't go on the road because I'm terrified to be in a bus. So I started getting other jobs. That's when I started dating my now wife. And about 3 or 4 months after the crash, I actually got an offer to go out on another tour. And I was contemplating it, actually. And my girlfriend, who's my wife now, she said, "It's tour or me." She's like, "We're not going to do this thing. It's either, you know," she's like, "I know what that life is like out there, and I'm not going to share you with that." So I said, "All right, I'll stay." And then here's the thing, though. If you look at what's the common thread through my whole story is this, I was looking for fulfillment. I thought that I wanted to be some celebrity. I wanted to be a star. I thought that if people knew who I was, then that would fulfill me. That would bring me joy and peace. So after the music thing didn't work, I started hosting a TV show that I created and came up with. I pitched it to a TV station in Texas and aired in West Texas, New Mexico, that area. And I did a lot of episodes on that, and I got fired from that. So I started a magazine. I put out a magazine, and that went for a while. Then,
Time out. Wait a minute. I'm sorry to cut you off. You got fired from the program that you created?
The station manager I had when I started the show thought I was hilarious. He got fired. They brought in a new station manager, and he watched one episode of my show, and he had this big meeting with the whole staff of the TV station, and he made this big announcement that some of you are going to be staying here, some of you are going to have to go, and right in front of everybody, he points at me. And he goes, "You're going to be the first to go." I cannot stand you. And he said it in front of everybody. I was like, "Well, that's the end of that." You know, so, yeah.
Wow. No, okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So, yeah,
wow.
I started a magazine.
So,
That was boring to me. You know, it was cool, but it was boring. I went from there and I started doing promotions for clubs. So a club would hire me. Mm-hmm. They had a slow night, and I would come up with a way to make it busy. That started me doing insult comedy. So what I started doing 6 nights a week was these different clubs would have me come in. I would stand on the stage for 4 hours with a microphone, nothing scripted, and I would just make fun of people in the room. And it was pretty
good. You'd be good at that.
But here's what's cool about that.
Right.
The Bible tells us that the gifts that God gives us are without repentance, right? It means he doesn't take them back. It's you get to choose who you use that gift for. If you use it for God, you don't use it for the world. You use it for the devil. So we have the ability to be able to look at people and see right through them. I've just always said, I can tell what you're feeling. I know what you're thinking. I can just... So I was using that, looking at people, and I was exploiting their weaknesses. I was finding these flaws and insecurities.
Wow.
I would make fun of them and make jokes about them. And unfortunately, that was a really popular thing, because if you had me come in and do that, your club was packed. I mean, there'd be a line out the door. I had ladies punch me in the mouth. I had dudes pull guns on me. It was pretty brutal. But doing that, I was about to lose my marriage, because I was, you know, drinking in clubs six nights a week. And now I was this local celebrity out in Texas where I was living. And I couldn't escape this. And I'd been married for about a year, and my wife came to me and she's like, this isn't going to work. You know, we're going to have to get divorced if we don't change something. And we weren't living for Jesus, obviously, at the time, but I knew that I didn't want to be divorced. I saw a lot of divorce growing up, and I never wanted to be a part of that. So I said, well, the only way for me to quit doing this is we have to move, because I can't stay here and just not do this. So we moved back to Oklahoma, where I live now. And then I started working as an MC for the baseball team out there, the Tulsa Drillers, the minor league baseball team. I was the host,
okay.
On-field host for that. Then I started playing in some bands again. And it was just, do you see what I'm saying? It was just one thing after another, trying to make my name great. Just whatever I could do.
I'm trying to keep up with you.
So many things.
So wait a minute. Before you got back to Oklahoma, where were you? You lost me.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. I'm sorry.
Texas, but...
Woo! So a lot going on.
So,
right.
I know, it's getting a long story. I'm trying to shorten it down here. But so...
No. Go ahead. You got time.
In Tulsa, my marriage was still just a train wreck. And I came up with this idea for a new TV show. And I was literally going to drive to Fox and go pitch this show. And I'm driving in my truck. And I can't say it was the audible voice of God, but I can't say it wasn't either, because I was by myself. But it was so... loud and booming. It's all I could hear was, Kelly, I have a plan for you, and I'm still waiting on you. And here's what happened. I got mad at God in that moment.
Wow.
And I don't recommend anyone do this, but this is what I did. I just said, God, all right. I said, it's on you then. I said, you want me? You need me? I said, then you have to come get me. I said, because I've tried serving you time and time again, and I keep failing, and I keep going back to everything else. And I said, I'm not doing it again. So I said, if you want me, I said, my heart's open. Come get me. And I left it at that. And I'm telling you, the very next day, I woke up, and it's like something shifted. I didn't want to listen to the same music. I didn't want to talk the same way. I didn't want to go to the same places. I didn't want to do the same thing. I just was hungry for the word. I started just watching pastors on YouTube, because at this point in my life, I thought, I've already ruined the pastor thing that God told me I was going to do. Like, there's no way he can fix me now. That was my thought, was I'm too far gone. Look at me. Look at the way I look. Like, I don't look like a preacher. I don't look like an evangelist. And I started watching YouTube sermons of just preachers. And that's where I found some amazing young pastors with tattoos and different things. And I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, all right, God, you can still use me, you know? And
I can do this. Yeah.
And I just started watching those sermons, getting in the word, starting to pray. And I remember going to tell my wife one day. I was like, you know, I think that I want us to go back to church. And over the years, I had taken her to church. We'd go for a few weeks and I'd stop going. And then she'd stop going. And I went and told her this, and she's like, no. She's like, I'm not doing that again with you. She's like, you take us, and we love it, and then you stop going, and you change. She's like, so I'm not going with you. And I was like, that's fine. So I started going by myself. I started going by myself every week. I would get up and go, and eventually she's like, all right, let's go. We'll go with you. You know, we'll get the kids up, and let's go.
All right.
And that was it, man. Then our whole family really got on fire, and here's what's let me try to wrap this up. Let me get to this really cool moment of this. So,
no, you good, man. Hey, we're digging this.
I get this point where I'm so on fire for God. Like, that's all I want. I've changed everything. And I'm like, all right, God, you said you got a plan for me. You said that I'm supposed to preach all over the world. Let's do it. What does that mean? And I sent 100 resumes, 100 to 100 different churches with a picture of me, picture of my family. You know, saying, hey, this is what God's called me to do. This is who I am. I did not get one reply. Not one. Zero. Not a no thank you. Not a thanks for reaching out. Not a we'd love to have you. We'd love to meet you. Nothing. And it really broke my spirit. And I was like, all right, God. I was like, you told me to do this. Yeah.
Now what?
Nobody wants me. So what do you want me to do? And I heard him again, extremely clear. He said, I want you to make videos and post them on the internet. And I was like, nope, not doing that. I mean, straight up, people on the internet are mean, man.
This is like the type of Jim Brown man. Are you crazy?
But, so I didn't deal with him. I was like, you know, people on the internet are mean. They're going to, you know, and back then I was weighing almost 400 pounds back then. I was a really big guy. And I knew that I was going to get made fun of for that. And I knew I had all these friends that are celebrities and famous musicians, and you know they're going to delete me, they're not going to want anything to do with me. I just had this fear of what would happen if I started making these videos. So I made God a deal, you know. And I was like, gosh, I'll write a blog, God, what about that? I'll write a blog. So I started writing a blog, and just as you guess, nobody read it. Nobody, because God didn't ask me to write a blog. He told me to make a video, you know. So eventually I got
Dude, I think you're probably one of the most hard-headed people.
You're not getting it. That's no joke. And I, man.
But go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So when no one read the blog, I was like, all right, God, I will try this video thing. This is ridiculous. And I'll never forget it. So the new Mad Max Fury Road had just come out, and I just saw it, and I loved it. So my very first video was, I said, you know, Satan doesn't attack you Mad Max style. He's not all Fury Road coming at you with everything he's got. He sifts you little by little, you know. It was just a video on that.
Yep.
I'll never forget, man. I got done. I posted that video. And the next day, it had 92 views. 92 views. And something happened in me that I had been looking for my entire life. And I had never felt it. And it was this sense of fulfillment just filled me. Was this is exactly what I'm supposed to do. Like, all the joy I had been looking for in trying to be a musician, trying to be a comedian, trying to do, look at me, I was never fulfilled. But as soon as I gave God the glory, I stood up and I made him famous in this moment. It was like, that's all I wanted to do. And I'm telling you, the next day I made a video, and the next day I video, and the next day I made a video, and I did not stop. And the views went from 92 to 200, and 200 to 500, and then to 1,000, then to 20,000, 50,000, 500,000. Then they started hitting millions of views. And here's what's crazy.
That's
2016
amazing.
2016 was the first time I did a video called Is It a Sin to Get a Tattoo? And I just broke down the Bible, really, on what it says. And that video got 3 million views in like 2 weeks. And after that, my phone started ringing off the hook nonstop of people saying, will you come speak in my church? Will you come speak in my church? And honestly, since that day, that's what I've done full time. And here's what's really cool. Here's what God showed me was when you sent those resumes, the thing that kept you out of church was the way that you look. It was your tattoos and your appearance. He said, but watch this. He said, the same thing that kept you out is the same thing I used to put you in. And it was
there
same video of me just showing what I look like.
It.
And God can still use me, and there's still a plan. And it doesn't matter if you have a tattoo. These things don't matter. We're focused on the wrong things.
My gosh.
That's when it all happened. That's when I started making videos, and that was it. And since that day, what has been really cool is God's sense of humor is that our desires come from him, right? He puts the desires in your heart, but until they match up with him, he doesn't give them to you. So my whole life, my desire to want to be in front of people, that was from him. He gave me the ability to be comfortable in front of people and to speak to people, but I was trying to use it to glorify myself, so he never allowed it to happen. But as soon as I shift the goal and the purpose of why I wanted to be in front of people, not so that I get glory, but so that he gets glory, guess what he did? He made I'm not famous by any means, but he elevated my name because I'm elevating his name, because now he knows my heart is not about, I don't care if you ever know who Kelly is, I don't care if you know me. I just want you to know who Jesus is to you, and that he can bring that same fulfillment, that same joy, that same peace, and he can bring that to you. That's all I want. Yep. And because the goal changed, now he gave me the desire. And, you know, since that day, the platform he's given me just continues to grow. Even right now, we're in the middle of some really big stuff. Some awesome doors have been opening. And I'm excited to see where it's going to go. But it had to come out of a place of complete brokenness and laying myself down saying, all right, I don't care about me mm. anymore. I want what you want because nothing else is going to do it for me. And, man, that's a great place to be when you finally just lay yourself down.
Wow,
you know?
Bro.
So that's kind of yeah. a story in a nutshell there. Yeah. It was a lot.
I mean, I'm sitting here just listening to you. It's so much to just take in, like, to listen to. It's like, what? I have my mouth around a freaking fire hydrant, and it's just like, open. But it had to be even more incredible to be you and go through it.
You know, some of it was really incredible, but a lot of it you don't see as incredible until way later. You know, a lot of that story, telling it from a fun perspective, but a lot of that story wasn't fun. And a lot of that was really hard and really difficult.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
There's a lot of moments am I really doing this right? Are you pleased with what I'm doing? Am I following you? You know, there was a lot of those moments. And that's when you just really have to trust that what he spoke over you it's a promise and it's the truth. And you just keep taking steps, even though you don't see the end. Because if you would have told me 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, where I'd be today, I wouldn't have believed you. I'd have been like, no way. How is that possible? You know? So yeah, it was fun. It has been amazing. But in the middle of it, it sure didn't feel that way. But looking back at it now, when I see perfectly clear, you know, 2020, you know,
hindsight's 2020,
I see his hand all over everything in the hard time. You know, back when we were selling stuff to try to get food or gasoline, you know, I collected football cards. I was selling football cards. I was down at the pawn shop every other day. You know, I've got 5 kids and a wife, and I don't know if you know about trying to do full time. There's not a lot of money in that, you know, and people come at me all the time. All you rich pastors, I'm like, you need to come to my house. You think I'm some rich pastor, man?
That's not how it works, man. Yep.
To look back and see that God, just his hand was on us the whole time, providing a way. There was always something. There was always a way. Man, it's. I just want to encourage somebody listening that if you feel like you've missed it and that you're struggling, but you're trying to do what God asked you, you're really not in a bad position at all. I guarantee you he's working on you and through you. And he takes us from glory to glory. And there's a day coming, and it's coming soon, where you're going to be able to look back and see what a blessing what you're going through today was. So, man, I'm telling you, if people will get the realization, you know, when Paul says, I count it all as a joy when I suffer. If you will start to see your suffering as preparation for your elevation, it changes everything. Suffering, all that is God's testing you for the next level. You can't get to the next level without the testing. But we get mad during the testing. We want to quit. But that's what he's about to elevate you. So it really shifts going through tough seasons when you're like, all right, God, I can't wait to see what's next because you're moving me to the next level. I'm leveling up right now, you know? That's how we need to look at this tough times.
I feel like, honestly, Kelly, I feel like I can hear what you're saying, right? I feel like we're having an interview and you give your testimony, but you're speaking directly to me at the same time.
I love that.
Like everything you're saying, it's just like, my God, what is this?
God, good,
what is going on? All through all of this, right? Was there someone, your lady, your wife, that you'd go through when you, things you just didn't take off. Was there a time where you weren't sure? Like, is this really going to work? Or
so many times.
Like, you had your valleys?
Here, I'm going to be real transparent with you. A year ago, almost to the day, I was going to quit ministry. I was throwing in the towel. I told my wife, I'm talking 12 months ago. I told her, this isn't working. I can't do this. We were struggling to provide. I was struggling to provide for our family. You know, we're on a single income, and my income is whatever the church decides to pay me that Sunday. And if I don't have a church that Sunday, there's no income, right? So that was how I was living. And I'd even taken a part-time job, even though God didn't tell me to do that. He told me to leave the workforce, but I felt like he wasn't providing, so I needed to step up. So I got this job, and it was just sucking the soul out of me, man. I was miserable. And we were miserable at home. My wife and I weren't even getting along. It was just, there was this tension. And I finally said, you know, I think I'm going to quit and go find a full-time job, maybe tour again, you know, go back to something that I'd come from. And I remember saying, you know, I'm just going to go pray for a minute. And I went out in my office, and I got on my knees, and I was like, God, I need you to show me where I've missed it, because this is not what you told me. This is not what you spoke. This is not what I've seen. And again, he spoke very clear, very plain to me, and he said, Kelly, I never canceled your last assignment. And I said, what was my last assignment? He said, you quit the last assignment. I said, well, what was it? He said, I told you to make videos and post them online. Because 2 years, the 2 years leading up to this, I'd quit posting videos. I had gotten under some bad leadership, and they didn't like my videos, which
I'm not going to
speak ill of anybody, especially that they were authority at the time. When it all came down to it, we found out that there was some jealousy there. They ended up kicking me out of the church. So I didn't make videos because everything I did was being scrutinized. Well, without making the videos, nobody was seeing me. Without people seeing me, nobody was calling me. I wasn't putting these things together. So God said, you know, I want you to pick up your last assignment. I didn't cancel that. You just quit. So I realized in that moment, this is my fault. This is on me. I've stepped away, and now I've taken God's job, and I put it into my own hands. And I said, I've got to be the provider. But the Bible never says you're the provider. It says he's the provider. Your job is not the provider. They may give you a paycheck, but God's your provider. He's the one that gave them the ability to pay you, right? So here's what's crazy. So I get up from that prayer, and I'm telling you, 10 seconds. I stand up from that prayer, and my phone rings. And it's a pastor that I have not talked to in a good year or two. I preached at his church before, and I'm like, oh, sweet. And he called me, and I'm like, hey, Pastor Levi, what's up, man? And he's like, hey, I just wanted to call you because I really felt like God put on my heart to give you some money today. And I was like, dang. I was like, all right, sweet. I need money. Like, that's a good call. And then he goes, but then he told me not to. And I was like, what? I was like, then why'd you call me, man? You called me to tell me you don't want to give me some money? Like, I was kind of offended, you know? I was like, why did you?
Right, right, yeah.
God told me to tell you something instead. He goes, God told me to tell you that your provision is online and you need to get back online. And I was just like, okay, that's it. That's all the confirmation I need.
Yeah,
I hang up the phone. I call my boss at this new job, and I quit right then in that second. And I told God, I said, I'll give you 40 hours a week making videos. My wife had been telling me for 2 years, you need to get on TikTok. You need to get on TikTok. And I'm like, I don't want to get on TikTok.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, that app looks awful. Like, kids are, I don't want to dance. Like, I don't know what you're talking about, TikTok. I didn't really know what it was, you know? And I heard God say, you need to get on TikTok. That's what your vision is. So that day, I made my first video on TikTok. I had like 5 followers. By the end of the week, I had something like 5,000 followers. By the end of that next month, I had over 30,000 followers. About a month or so after that, I had 100,000 followers. And I had been trying to write this 40-day devotional book for 3 years. This book that should have taken me 10 days had taken me 3 years. Nothing was clicking. It wasn't working. I kept scratching and rewriting and changing this, and it wouldn't come together. Now I'm doing these videos. I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit back in my life again. Things are just clicking like a machine. It's going great. So I get the book finished. I got about 100,000 followers. I start talking about the book online. Now that's my third book. My other two books have sold maybe, I don't know, maybe 10,000 copies total over 7 years. You know, I released this book, and because of TikTok, for the last 5 months, it's been the number one Christian book on Amazon.
Man,
selling hundreds of copies a day. Like, I couldn't believe it. It was literally everything that God said. Your provision is in the calling. What did I call you to do? Because that's where your provision is. If Christians, if we could figure that out alone right there, what he called you to is where he's going to provide for you. But what we do is we try to take it in our own hands and go make a provision ourselves. But what happens is God's a gentleman, and he says, if you want to do it, I'll let you do it. But if you want to surrender it to me,
go ahead.
I'll do it for you. Right. So when I finally got to that, and now, you know, we're a few months later, so we're almost a year into this thing now, and I'm a little over 500,000 followers, and I see people get saved every single day. I see lives getting changed every single day. People getting set free. People write to me saying how this book changed their life, and it's just it blows my mind what God will do when you just obey him. Right.
Amen. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Just get out of your own way.
Yeah. So have I, when I go through valleys? Yeah. I mean, I was 2 steps away from quitting completely. I mean, that's how bad the devil had got me down, had beat me down, where I forgot my purpose and forgot my calling. It can happen to any of us, you know, it really can.
But oh my gosh.
Thank God that.
Thank you for saying that.
He woke me up at the right moment. And he sent somebody to affirm that word. I mean, it couldn't have been any cooler of a moment than that was that day.
Yeah, but here's the thing. What I'm hearing, man, you're exactly right. God gave you the ability and, you know, another chance and, you know, all these things. Open these doors for you, right?
Yeah.
And something that always I think about is you didn't have to, right?
For sure.
You didn't. I mean, by right, you can be like, la, 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 la. I'm not listening to you. I'm going to. Good on you, man, for I'm so glad you listened.
You know, it took a lot of me not listening to figure out I need to listen.
I get it.
Yeah. So here's the deal. Here's what, and I this is where I was, and a lot of Christians are in this same place, so hopefully this will help. But my thing was I would know when God was speaking to me. I would know. I had a pretty good discernment. Mm. But what I thought was this is a test. And if it's a test, I have the option to pass on it, and I can take it another time, right? So
right,
I do that all the time.
Right.
God speaks to me, go tell this woman this, or go give them some money, or do this for this person. I'd be like, nah, I'll get you next time, God. You know, catch me again, and I'll pass it when I'm ready. But when that shifted for me was when I realized that your obedience may have nothing to do with you and have everything to do with somebody else. Somebody else's salvation may be behind your obedience. Somebody else's blessing may be behind your obedience. When God is speaking for you to do something, it may not be a test for you. It may be life-changing for somebody else.
Woo!
It really clicked in me. When I hear the voice of God now, I mean, I try. I don't always get it right. But I try to run to that, whatever you want me to do, because I've realized I've not done what he asked, and I've done what he asked. And doing what he asked is always worth it. The payout, even as if it sounds stupid, it sounds dumb, it sounds ridiculous, it might not be fun,
right,
it might hurt, do it. What's on the other side is so much more valuable than your feeling.
Oh, my gosh.
Learn that, that's when you get to a place where you're like, all right, I'm going to obey without delay. I mean, when you look at everybody in the Bible that had favor with God, that had the fear of the Lord, one common thread between them is they obey without delay, man. Right? Abraham is supposed to sacrifice Isaac. God tells him, go sacrifice your only son, your son that I promised
That's
you.
It.
Go sacrifice
yep.
him. What would you or I say? What would anybody say? Well, I'm going to pray about that.
Nah.
Right?
Right.
You would. And here's what happens. Whenever if you ever hear somebody, and I hear it all the time, well, you know, God's been dealing with me about that for a while. You know, he's really been working on me. What you're doing is bragging about your disobedience. What you're saying is God told me to do something, and I'm choosing
right.
not to do it for a while because I think my way is better. You're bragging about your disobedience. I love Abraham. It says early the next morning he got up and went on his way. God said, kill your son. He didn't go, are you sure? That's crazy. That's stupid. You told me I could have this son. He just got up to go do it. Why? Because he knew. The reason that God's asking me
yep.
this, I may not know. But here's what I do know.
No questions asked.
It's worth it. I'm going to do it. And man, and that's where I try to live. One of my key statements for my life is to be fully convinced. And it's out of that story where it says Abraham was fully convinced that God will do whatever he promises. If we are fully convinced of that, no matter what he says, we'll do it because we're convinced that what's on the other side is worth it. What happens is we're not convinced. We think that maybe it'll be better if we do it our way. Maybe it'll be better if I don't. But then that's why the Bible says rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft. That's a pretty heavy statement. That's a heavy scripture that says, why would you know, especially in our culture, we think of rebellion as a badge of honor. You know, I'm a rebel. I do what I want. You know, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Listen,
rebel
against authority, what you're saying is, God, I know what you want, and I'm going to choose to do the opposite. Well, if you're not serving God, who are you serving? See what I'm saying?
Satan.
So rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft. So obedience to the Lord when you know the right thing to do and don't do it, it's the same as worshiping the devil because you're saying, God, I know what
oh
you want,
gosh.
But I'm going to choose my way instead. So
right.
I want to be fully convinced that no matter what he tells me, it's worth it. It's worth it. And
Amen.
For the most part, I get it. But every once in a while, I still miss it sometimes. But the sign of a mature Christian isn't how much they obey. The sign of a mature Christian is how fast they run to the cross when they don't. How fast do you repent? Because we're all going to miss it. but we're not all going to go back and say, all right, God, I did miss it. I'm sorry. Let's try this again. That's the sign of a mature believer, is how fast do you run back to him when you, don't know what he asked and you make it right. So I try to live with that's that so in powerful. The front of my mind every single day, and it's really helped me, because God asked me to do something all the time that I sure don't want to do.
Do it. I'm right there with you, man.
Amen.
I'm picking up what you're putting down. Let me ask you this. So your family, you got five kids. I have one son. And wow. How?
No doubt. I'm jealous. No kidding.
Hey, I'm not. So how is it with your family? In what you do in the ministry, and how's it been, faith in your family, been absorbed? And
I am honored to say that all of my kids love Jesus. We're kind of worried about Jet. She's two. She claims to love Jesus, but I see no fruit of Christ in her life yet.
She's two.
I'm kidding.
Wait a minute, what? Okay.
Kids that are adults, a 22-year-old, a 20-year-old, and a 19-year-old, and they're all doing their thing, but they all love the Lord. They serve him. They have great walks with God. I have an 8-year-old son, and he travels with me a lot. He loves to go with me on the road, so he's really getting the word in him.
Wow.
He's starting to understand it. And then we got little Jetty, who's two, who was a COVID surprise baby that we didn't know that we needed, but God decided we did. And,
I remember hearing about that. Yeah. You're speaking at another church, yeah.
Yeah, I told everybody that's what happens when you pull a preacher off the road. We have too much time on our hands.
That's it. Right.
But no, and actually, I was praying over my son, my 8-year-old, and I really kept thinking, like, okay, God, he's going to be a preacher. He's going to follow me and do what I'm doing. And when Jet came along, I heard God say, nah, it's her. It's her. So she's the most hard-headed kid that I've had out of the five, doing it her way. And I'm like, oh, yeah, she's a preacher. Yeah, for sure. So that's all my whole family, man. We love Jesus. We're all serving him together. Doesn't mean we don't go through hard times. Matter of fact, last weekend, my wife and I got in the biggest fight we've been in probably in 5 years, because I came home from preaching in Phoenix. And that morning I got home, got off the plane, and I told her, hey, I have to go preach tonight again, somewhere else. And she's like, can we not just have one day? Like, can you give us one day of your time? And I got upset. I was in the wrong here, by the way. Let me just preface with I was in the wrong. And I was like, what do you mean take a day off? Like, we're building something, we're planting seeds, we're doing all this good stuff for God. And I totally forgot that my family is my first ministry, and that, they need time with me too, and it's not a bad thing to take a day off. And I had to repent and tell her I was sorry, and it turned into a really big deal, because in my mind I'm doing God's word, but I missed it, and I had to repent.
Oh man,
so it's still a struggle. It's
so good, man.
But we are on the same page as a family, and I try to take them with me when I can. I'm going to Pennsylvania Thursday, and my wife gets to go with me this time, which is awesome. She's a worship pastor at our church, so it's hard for her to leave, on the weekends and go with me.
Okay.
So that's why people ask all the time, where's your wife? Where's your wife? I'm like, well, she's leading worship at our church. She's being a pastor too.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But we manage, and there's definitely God has given a grace to our family in this season, and we appreciate that. Doesn't mean it's always easy, but we do see the greater goal and what we're working for. So it's good if everyone shares the same vision. A house divided can't stand. So if my wife ever said, hey, you're done with this, I would have to really go to God and say, all right, we need some unity here. What do I need to do? But luckily she hasn't said that. She just says, I need a day. And,
oh my goodness.
That's the least I can do.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, man. Woo. I didn't know what to expect. Truly. I didn't know what to expect. I wasn't expecting that, but it's like, like, I hear so much, man, I'll share with you, another time. Man, this has been so powerful. What nuggets would you share with, our audience? What's wisdom?
I've given a lot.
Like some go-tos. Yeah, I mean, like some go-tos,
you know, some of the biggest things that I see people dealing with the most, that if I, you know, if I was just thinking this the other day, if I only had one thing I could preach for the rest of my life, if I could only teach one thing, what do I really want people to get? And it's the freedom that they have in Jesus. That's really what I want people to get, because, you know, doing these videos and stuff on social media, I get thousands of messages a day. There's no way I could read them all. There's no right. possible way.
Yeah.
But when I do try to go through them, most of them are the same. And they're worded differently, but they're asking the same thing. And it's, you know, can I be a Christian and still smoke? Or can I drink and be a Christian? Will I go to heaven if I do this? Am I going to go to hell if I do this? And I just want to scream, do you not know who Jesus is? Do you not know what Jesus bought and paid for you? Your sins are forgiven. Your past sins, forgiven. The sins you're going to do today, forgiven. The sins tomorrow, 50 years from now, they're already forgiven. Jesus already bought and paid for it. You don't have to walk around carrying this guilt and shame for the things that you do or don't allow in your life, right? Understand this. If you've given your heart to Jesus, you've given everything to him, and you are serving him. I'm not saying said a prayer in church one time. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying you are living a committed relationship with Jesus. You're going to heaven. Can you smoke and go to heaven? Absolutely. Can you drink beer and go to heaven? Yep. Can you look at porn and go to heaven? Yep, you can. Paul said, all things are lawful for me because I have Jesus now, right? But not all are beneficial. Understand this. Just because you're free to do something because Jesus paid the price doesn't mean that we should, right? We need to understand we don't have to carry guilt and shame for these mistakes, for these sins that we allow in our life. Jesus paid for them. But we also need to look at, what is this doing to me in my life? You want to smoke? Amen. Go for it. But also, it's going to hurt your body. And God's got a call on your life.
Here's a price.
Preach and take the gospel. And that may end your call soon, right? You want to do drugs? You want to look at pornography? Awesome. What does sin do? You can still get to heaven. Jesus paid for it. But sin separates you from God. Meaning, when you choose those things over doing what God, remember we already talked about obedience. When you're choosing that, you're stepping out from under God's umbrella of protection. I didn't say he moved it from you. He's not mad at you. Remember, you're the righteousness of Christ. You're forgiven. You've already been bought and paid for. You step out from under his umbrella, and now you're going to heaven, sure, but your life's going to feel like hell. You're going to go through hell on earth because the enemy has full reign to attack you. You're chaining yourself up in bondage by allowing this stuff in your life. But to keep asking over and over, am I going to heaven if I do this? You've missed the point. The point is, why would you want to?
Right.
Why would you want to? So many Christians are so concerned with just getting in the gate of heaven. I just got to get in. I just got to get in.
There's a pass, right?
Family to Disney World in July. Don't do that, by the way. It's brutal. So hot. But I took them in July, and as we were walking in, I remember walking through the gates of Disney World thinking, like, dude, this is amazing. This place is insane, you know? Mm-hmm. But right when you walk in, what's there? There's, like, the stroller rental thing. There's a customer service desk, you know, mm-hmm. shop to buy ponchos in case it rains. So many people are just worried about getting into heaven, not realizing that by just getting in, you're just going to spend your time at the stroller rental, man. There's so much more to heaven than just getting in the gate. Yeah, I'm glad that you got in. But you know what? I want to ride all the rides. I want to see all the characters. I want to go to the restaurants. I want to do all the stuff. We got to understand. Listen, watch this. I'm going somewhere, I promise. If I were to tell you, hey, the next 50 years of your life are going to be based on how you lived your life today, would it change the way you live today? Everything that you do from today is going to determine the next 50 years. If you don't mess up, you don't sin, you know, you put God first today, you're going to have a blessed life the next 50 years. But it's all based on today, just what you do today. Would you live today different than you would any other day? Absolutely you would. Understand, this life here is like one day compared to eternity. What we live for in this life is our preparation for eternity. Every choice you make, every action, you're storing up treasures in heaven. There's going to be people that get to heaven, they got no treasure there. They're just going to be hanging out. Why? Because they accepted Jesus, they lived for him, but then they allowed all this other stuff. They never obeyed, they didn't do what he was asking. They just, I still want to smoke, I want to drink, I want to cuss, I want to watch porn, I want to do all those things. I love Jesus, gave him my heart. Cool, you got into heaven. Have fun at the stroller rental. But everything that I'm doing in this life is preparing my next life. That's why the Bible says we need to be focused on heaven, not focused here.
Right.
Everything I do here is a seed that I'm planting. And I may not see the harvest of it here, but I want to see it there. So it should change your perspective. Yeah. Does that make sense? So I want people to understand the freedom they have in Jesus, that you don't got to carry guilt and shame for your mistakes. but you also shouldn't want to keep choosing them either.
Just don't because we're
free
now.
From sin doesn't mean we're free to sin. But people, the devil is the one who brings condemnation. Not, my Bible says there's no condemnation in Christ. My Bible says God didn't send his son in the world to condemn it, but to save the world through him, right? So that's if I could just teach one message, and that was a horrible way of doing it, I know, but
no,
that's what I want people to understand.
Is that was right on.
You're so right on, free. Brother. But how you live in this life is going to determine the next one. And I don't want to spend all my time at the stroller rental, my man. I want to ride the roller coasters. I want to have the. I want to meet all the characters. I want to do all the things, you know?
Hey, we're going to end right there. Sure. That was wonderful.
Sure.
Thank you, brother. Wow.
Allow me to take a moment to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on the podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you will find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and much, much more.
Our world can feel chaotic and uncertain, but we don't have to live enslaved to fear. Christ has promised me and you his peace, and throughout Scripture has provided powerful tools and practical steps to help us experience greater freedom. I'm Jennifer Slattery, lead host of the Faith Over Fear podcast, inviting you to join me and my team as together we learn how to starve our fears and feed our faith. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com or wherever you access podcast content.